That time of the year again, it's the Talk of the Nation Summer Movie Festival.
Nobody gets the goods like you, Joe.
Anybody can get the goods. The hard part's getting away. Plan a good enough getaway, you could steal Ebbets Field.
Ebbets Field's gone.
What did I tell you?
Cat burglars, jewel thieves, bank heists, crooks, con artists, and snappy dialogue. This week is all about big capers. If you have a favorite big caper movie, we want your nominee and a brief explanation as to why. Our phone number, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, email talk@npr.org, and you can tunnel your way onto our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. And of course, no summer movie series is complete without Murray Horowitz, director and COO of the American Film Institute Silver Theater and Cultural Center, which is here in the Washington area, and he joins us in Studio 3A. Hey, Murray.
Happy summer.
And the caper genre is a tricky one. What's the definition of a big caper film?
Well, I could tell you what it's not. On my way into the studio, one of NPR's star reporters, who shall remain nameless, stopped me and said, you're not talking about those things that we eat with salmon, are you?
A relation to the olive.
That's exactly so. No, I must admit that here this is a kind of elusive one, because there are a lot of movies that have to do with intricate kind of Rube Goldberg plots having to do with crime. But I'm taking a sort of position here, as I so uncharacteristic for me to be opinionated.
Oh, of course, yes.
But we're talking about, first of all, heist movies. So we can't be talking about, you know, kidnapping or murder or no spy stuff. It's not just any crime. It's mostly a heist. Although we can make exceptions for some scams like The Sting. And there's a certain lightness and irony about a caper movie. There's a certain tone. They tend not to be bloody crime movies, although we may run into some exceptions.
Yes.
And it's the word I was using for, if listeners will forgive me, is smartass. There's a little tone of that. There's a kind of jaded, ironic quality to the best caper movies.
And this is such a persistent genre that in essence, each of them is a spoof or a parody of each other. And of course, some are outright comedies. Let's not forget The Pink Panther.
The wandering transvestite took my car and stole my clothes at gunpoint. I have been working under the covers, tracking the killer.
Oh, the killer's Duvier.
What?
Yes, he wanted to impress the Godfather.
I want a room.
I want a room. Of course, the great Peter Sellers.
Now, and the great, some would argue, Blake Edwards. And that's the other thing about this genre, Neil. As I looked over the list, you got some of the greatest directors who've been fascinated by this genre. Among the directors who've worked on caper movies, John Huston, Jean-Luc Godard, Barry Levinson, Robert Wise, Jean-Pierre Melville, William Wyler, François Truffaut, Alfred Hitchcock, Stanley Kubrick. I mean, this is a serious film genre.
And of course, there's another great director, not often recognized by many American audiences, but Jules Dassin and the immortal film Top Cappy.
Lesson one, the three cardinal rules of theft.
How Swiss you are. Eins, zwei, drei.
Right. Eins, plan meticulously. Zwei, execute
cleanly.
Drei,
don't get caught before, during,
or after. That's right.
And there is the whole genre right in a capsule.
It's true. And Jules Dassin, which I sort of prefer, but you know, most of the he was born in Middletown, Connecticut, and he was called in Hollywood Jules Dassin. He was blacklisted. And his first film, and he expatriated, he moved to France, and his first film after having been blacklisted was maybe the sort of pinnacle of the genre, Rififi, and which is he sort of refers to in Top Cappy. It was one of the most successful films of all time. So take that, blacklisters.
Now let's get a caller on the line, and this is Marcus. Marcus with us from San Francisco.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that, you know, Rififi was one of my favorite Dustin films that I've seen. What I really thought was fascinating was the whole idea that he was blacklisted and went on to, I guess, France and came up with such a great film. And also, I understand that they were going to remake it at some point, and Al Pacino was going to be involved, but I never heard too much after that. I just saw something about that online.
I think somebody broke into an office and made off with the script.
It was the perfect crime.
Yeah, but I just like that movie a lot and wanted to comment.
Well,
it was a great one.
Let me ask you, Marcus. I mean, when it was first described to me, before I even saw it, people said it's a scientific crime film. I mean, would you characterize it that way?
scientific.
There seems to be in a lot of caper movies little mathematical things. I mean, time is always, you know, synchronizing watches and stuff like
that. I'm sorry. Yeah, I would say that, I guess, with the way they went, meticulously went through each, tried to, you know, figure out how to get through the alarm and how, you know, they mathematically use time as, you know, seconds go by, this is how long it takes to go about doing this. And, yeah, I guess science would be involved in that film.
All right. Well, thanks very much.
Hey, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mark.
Bye-bye.
We've, of course, been asking our listeners to weigh in with their favorite caper movies, and joining us now is Breton Prawl. He joins us from Utah's Hill Air Force Base. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you.
And as I understand it, your favorite big caper movie is The Great Muppet Caper.
Well, it's one of them. It's up there.
Uh-huh. Why that one?
Well, first, they're Muppets. I mean... It's a bear, a frog, a pig, and, you know, the whatever who go in are involved with this caper dealing with a baseball the baseball diamond in Britain.
Wait a minute. Did you mention a pig?
Yes, a pig.
Why, his bow ties are always crooked. Still in all, he is my brother.
Why are you telling me all this?
It's plot exposition. It has to go somewhere.
That's smart alecky quality, Murray.
That's it. That's exactly right. That's the irony we're looking for. And, you know, this is, I think, the only movie among the ones under consideration here that actually has the word caper in the title. And that does denote that kind of lightness and irony we're talking about.
And, of course, there are these wonderful characters and that sort of self-knowledge that goes on throughout this entire movie, Breton Prawl.
I'm sorry?
There's that sort of self-awareness that everybody's aware of what they're spoofing in the movie.
Yeah. it's great. One of my favorites is that the pig and the bear, you know, Kermit and Fozzie, they're identical twins.
Right.
And throughout the whole movie, they mention, oh, yeah, I can see the family resemblance.
It's true. You know, it's true.
Just making a spoof on how people are, I guess.
Yeah, I think Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito picked up on that in another
yeah,
movie, but that's
exactly
a subject for another day. Anyway, thanks very much for being with us today.
All right, thank you.
All right, Breton Prawl joined us from Utah's Hill Air Force Base, and let's see if we can get another caller on the line, and this is going to be Jonathan. Jonathan with us from Jacksonville in Florida.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
Very well, thanks.
I just watched it last night, The Killers with Burt Lancaster, 1946. Great movie.
And what were they stealing in The Killers?
Well, they were taking the payroll from the Prentice Hat Company.
Right. This is based on an Ernest Hemingway story, as I recall, right? Is that The Killers?
I think only part of it, though. I think they kind of used him to kind of, you know, get people to come. I mean, it was just, his name's above the title, but I think it was a short story or something. But
right.
Really clever story. One guy double-crosses the rest of the gang, and it's something that's just really well done, and it makes a lot of sense when you watch it.
Is this one of those ones where it always begins with the old pro coming back for one more job?
No, it's about a guy who basically he met a girl who was kind of out of his league, and he tried to, you know, be her guy, and she kind of played him for a sap, and he just didn't see the writing on the wall until it was too late.
All right. Well, Burt Lancaster. Well, thanks very much.
Hey, you're welcome.
One of my favorites, Murray, is similarly obscure, Dead Heat on a Merry-Go-Round. James Coburn Sarandon, I think. Well, anyway.
I don't know.
It was the first film where it violated the Hays Office code. He gets away with the money at the end of the movie, though, of course, he's lost everything else and walks away sadly. But they take off the racetrack office.
The title, I remember, how could you forget the title? It's one of the greatest in history, as opposed to those victories on a merry-go-round, the dead heat on a merry-go-round.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
It's true. And James Coburn is the kind of craggy, old-timer veteran crook that shows up in caper movies.
There are also a whole category of very debonair crooks, and of course, we think of the Thomas Crown Affair.
What's your take from this?
5% of the value recovered.
Oh. Bounty hunter.
If you like.
Always get your man?
Mm-hmm.
Think you'll get me?
Oh, I hope so.
that, of course, the remake of
that's
the Thomas
right, exactly
Crab
so. And interestingly, I think that the remake was a caper movie in a way that the first one wasn't. You remember the first one, Steve McQueen is being investigated for a crime that he already committed.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, there's actually a challenge let down to the debonair crook, Pierce Brosnan.
And, of course, the all-time debonair crook has to be Mr. Cary Grant.
Think of all those roofs you could climb over.
Who did you call me?
Roby. John Roby, one of the world's cleverest jewel thieves known as the Cat. I read all about you in the Paris paper.
You may have read about somebody called the Cat,
but... I thought you said you were hungry.
I am.
For the picnic baskets in the trunk.
That, of course, joined by the great Grace Kelly.
You know, I mean, when I talk about a lightness, I mean, one of the great light comedians of screen history, Cary Grant, and two of the most gorgeous people ever to appear on a screen, and one of the greatest directors, Alfred Hitchcock, To Catch a Thief is a perfect caper movie.
There's an email from Steve in Parkersville, Kansas. Everybody thinks of Ocean's 11 or The Sting, but don't forget that classic caper where everything goes wrong, the Lavender Hill Mob.
Right, and I would argue not only that, but another one of those, I think it's an Ealing Studios comedy, The Lady Killers.
Also with Alec Guinness.
Right, exactly so. And I think that's there are a couple of them where everything goes wrong. We're now inching around to some of my favorites. And my all-time favorite was explained to me as a parody of Rififi, and that's Big Deal on Madonna Street.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just hysterical. I mean, and it also features, speaking of gorgeous, slick actors, it features the young Marcello Mastroianni, who is just sort of breathtaking. But it's one of the funniest films I've ever seen.
That's Murray Horowitz of the Silver Theater of the AFI right here in the Washington, D.C. area. This is our Summer Film Festival. We're talking about big caper movies. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Mike. This is Ilan. Is that right?
Ian.
Okay, we just had too many vowels in your name, and I couldn't possibly figure them out. He's calling us from Southern California.
Correct. And I'd like to nominate the original Italian Job as a great caper movie. I think it has Michael Caine in one of his best performances. Certainly the Minis are great fun, and I think it's probably the only caper movie that truly ends in a cliffhanger.
in a literal cliffhanger. The Italian Job has shown up on the Talk of the Nation Summer Film Festival before,
yes,
among
is.
The greatest car chases of all time. And there it's been both the original and the remake. But I agree with you, Ian. And, I mean, any film that has in it, Noel Coward, Ralph Vallone, Rossano Brazzi, and Noel Coward. And Benny Hill. Benny Hill was my punchline. I mean, you got to love it.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Here's a comment on our blog we got from Stacy. I would suggest, and here's a genre buster, I would suggest The Great Escape. It's generally seen as a war movie, of course, but it's really the world's greatest caper movie. It just happens during wartime, and the POWs are stealing themselves.
I would say, one might say genre busting. I would say out of bounds. Mm-hmm. There's a terrific, first of all, it's not a crime,
right,
what they're doing. I mean, it is in the eyes of the Germans,
okay,
you know. But the second thing, it's an escape, and there are a lot of great escape movies,
mm-hmm,
besides The Great Escape. And but also, for example, one of my favorite crime movies of this sort, but I decided it was out of bounds, is The Taking of Pelham 123. And it's got a lot of the same elements, but it lacks that sort of irony. I think the Great Escape is a real nail-biter, and you're rooting for him, and there's not that same sense of lightness and self-awareness that there is in a real caper movie.
Here's another comment from our blog. This is from Jose. What about the subgenre of wacky caper movie? One of my favorites. Who's Minding the Mint? Jim Hutton, Dorothy Provine, Joey Bishop, Milton Berle, and a whole bunch of 60 stars. The plot, a worker at the U.S. Mint accidentally destroys $50,000, so he decides to get it back by assembling an ever-growing crew of experts to break into the Mint and make more money, and, of course, enough to cover expenses. Obscure, but funny, even after 40 years.
Sold.
All right. And there's another one. This is, again, not necessarily all that popular. Again, one of my favorites. It's Goldie Hawn and Warren Beatty in Dollars.
We're not robbing the bank, right?
We're not robbing the bank. We're just going to take what's in here, huh? Mr. Las Vegas' box that skimmed money to cheat on taxes, and Mr. Army's box here that's kickbacks and bribes and black market money, and then we're going to put it into here. That's you. That's your box right there.
And, of course, it's not really stealing.
Right.
Yeah.
And there is that. These tend to be lovable criminals because there's something that they've got that we sympathize with them. That, by the way, folks, if you're going to be looking for that at your neighborhood video store or online, you will not find it called Dollars. It's a dollar sign.
Dollar sign, yes.
It's the film formerly known as Dollar Sign. And it's also got in it Gert Fröbe, who was in the Goldfinger of Bond fame.
Tell us, who wins in the big caper category, in your opinion, the Murray?
Well, here it is a kind of genre busting. I've already stated my politics. The Mario Monicelli film, Big Deal on Madonna Street from 1958, which in addition to a young Marcello Mastroianni, includes a young Claudia Cardinale. So it's really
something worth to look at, too.
As well as Vittorio Gassman and some great comedians. But of the serious ones, and I'm almost breaking my own rules here, because there's not quite the irony, but there is a sense of character and something else going on in it. And that's a Robert Wise film, of which I'm very fond, called Odds Against Tomorrow, with Harry Belafonte and Robert Ryan and Shelley Winters and Ed Begley Sr. and Gloria Graham, and a score by the Modern Jazz Quartet.
Let's listen to a clip from Odds Against Tomorrow.
That side door is the key to the whole job. The bank stays open Thursdays till 6. Most of the factories pay on Friday, so the bank is loaded with payroll cash and deposits from the stores. Every Thursday night, there's close to $200,000 in untraceable cash sitting in there.
Almost $200,000. Wow! Look at all that money.
$1 million.
It's one of the great things of reminding us how inflation has changed the Big Caper movie. Murray Horowitz, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Neil. Always a pleasure.
Murray Horowitz is the director and COO of the American Film Institute Silver Theater and Cultural Center, which is here in the Washington area. He joined us in Studio 3A. He'll be back next week with another edition of our Summer Movie Festival. We haven't figured out what it is yet, so stay tuned. We'll give you a promo. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We'll